This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. We're sticking to this Russian-Ukraine space in a way, but taking a different angle, looking at cryptocurrencies, because this has come under the spotlight in the conflict. Since the invasion of Ukraine, a series of financial sanctions have been imposed on Russia by Western countries.
And this includes the exclusion of some Russian banks from the SWIFT system, which is an essential part of the global banking system. And even other payment systems like Visa, Master, and Amex have also suspended their operations in Russia. So these actions have actually raised questions on whether Russians will turn to cryptocurrencies to bypass the sanctions imposed.
So to answer that question and also talk about other developments in the crypto space, we turn to Varun Mittal, Chief Growth Officer of SingLife with Aviva and also author of the book Singapore, the FinTech Nation. Varun, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us today. So since the start of the Russian-Ukrainian war, there's been this sort of narrative that Russians could evade sanctions via cryptocurrency. Are we seeing a surge in demand for cryptocurrencies by Russian parties so far? And, you know, is this does this narrative hold true?
Since Russian average consumers and corporations cannot access the traditional financial system, they would need to access other means to do trade and commerce. The Russian tourists who are already out of Russia, and now, for example, their debit cards or credit cards are not working, and they still need to survive where they are and go back to their back locations in Russia. So cryptocurrencies have come up as an alternate means. Even historically, when sanctions were put, people would try to then look at other currencies to use them, because last time there would be gray markets to get access to a foreign currency and do transactions in that. Now, because cryptocurrencies are easier to access, digital, pseudo-anonymous, so they become another tool, because your own domestic financial institutions and currency is under pressure and under sanctions from different places.
Some argue that conversion to cryptocurrencies will devalue Russians' fiat money. What is your view on this?
I would say it's a lot more about the overall sanctions. So when we have economic sanctions on other countries as well, that impacts the domestic currency. The question is, where do people move to? Do they move to gray market US dollar, or they move to cryptocurrency or mix of it as a result of sanctions? That is something which you're seeing for the first time, where crypto becomes the another avenue for people to move because the domestic currency is under pressure. So it's a lot more to do with the economic sanctions and the legal sanctions, which is pushing people away from the domestic currency, putting pressure on that. Because even if you look at the central bank has pressures, their currency reserves are frozen in some places. So that is the bigger pressure. It's not the crypto alone. Crypto is a beneficiary of it. The triggers are the sanctions and the pressures put by the international countries over the Russian economy.
So Varun, related to this is the argument that, you know, or the pushback that it is quite impossible for cryptocurrencies to replace fiat currencies, partially because they are so volatile, right? Be it Bitcoin or Ether, and volumes on P2P exchanges are also too shallow to support a mass token adoption. What do you think about that?
Reminds me, there are also stable coin propositions, right? Because their cryptocurrencies are not only about the Bitcoins and Ethereums. Some of the stable coins are not as volatile because they're backed 1:1 to a traditional fiat. So they can come up, and a lot of transactions you see right now are on those stable coins. To the currencies people trust, they would take a stable coin of that, and this one would not be dependent on traditional financial institutions to transact without the traditional financial institution fees. So I see a lot more role for stable coins to play in these kind of scenarios than the traditional cryptocurrencies like the Bitcoins and the Ethereums.
So Varun, can I turn your attention to developments in Ukraine on legalizing of cryptocurrencies? They actually just signed a law to do this. Could you help us understand the significance of this move, especially in light of the ongoing conflict?
It's very significant, where it shows that countries which have some kind of political issue or a geopolitical scenario, they may look at accepting that this is an additional form of financial system which will operate. And in future, the traditional financial system and the non-traditional financial system, which has both stablecoin, non-stablecoin crypto will coexist and it will become a multi-tier engine for their economy. So some economies will acknowledge and adopt a multi-tier system instead of just relying on the traditional financial system and infrastructure and rails. So bigger part is accepting that multi-tier infrastructure and rails are required for effective functioning of economy.
Binance said that it would comply with the sanctions, but not blanket banning Russian accounts. How can this be executed?
The premise is it probably is a challenge for international companies to say, well, just because somebody is from a certain nationality, we'll block them all over the world. What is much more easier is if there are specific individuals or corporations which are sanctioned to target them. Because you also have scenarios where people have dual citizenships. How do you handle that? Would you ban the person because of the other passport they have? People have residency statuses. People have permanent, non-permanent residency statuses. So it's not easy to, and it's probably tricky and unfair in some shape or form to ban residents of a country living all over the world. Imagine the social media companies which are not available in some market, but if the residents from that country go and sign up, they still can access it. So which is why the challenge for all the service providers right now is how do they stay right with the law without jeopardizing the overall operations and sanctity of the system.
So Varun, I want to bring this back to international regulators. How do you think they're going to respond to developments in crypto markets in light of the war in Ukraine, particularly from the perspective of can authorities actually spot sanctioned violators who use cryptocurrencies?
It's not always easy because a lot of cryptocurrencies would say that it's DeFi and the headquarters are hosted in offshore locations. So it's not always that easy for international financial regulators to police them. And again, that's a feature and a bug. So that's something, it's the first time cryptocurrency will face head on with the sanctions and economic constraints kind of regime. And I believe both sides will see the constraints and opportunities which each other has, and they will find ways to define what does the new normal look like, where regulations needs to coexist with these kind of decentralized platforms.
All right. Varun, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Varun Mittal, Chief Growth Officer of SingLife with Aviva and author of Singapore, the FinTech Nation, helping us understand some of the considerations that's going on in this debate about the role that cryptocurrencies play in situations of conflict like what's happening in Ukraine at the moment.
So we have two sides of the equation, right? We've got the Russians, where all these financial sanctions are being imposed, and whether they are using cryptocurrencies to skirt it. Of course, the crypto experts say that's not the case because the volumes in terms of cryptocurrencies hasn't really increased significantly, so suggesting that's not happening. Then the Ukrainians are actually taking advantage of the cryptocurrencies as a means of actually raising funds and also transacting because they're in a time of war, right? And you can do this relatively easy as long as you have internet access. But what it is get cryptocurrencies are here. They are really gone kind of mainstream and even have a role when it comes to warfare.
I thought it was interesting, especially in the Ukrainian position, because they had actually had this proposed law before. The president had actually put kind of held back on signing into it, saying that they didn't really have the regulatory framework in place. But the conflict kind of pushed them to take this action and legalize it anyway, because it's something that they need right now.
Yeah, but the point is, whatever cryptocurrencies, instrument you're looking at, it's an extremely volatile one. So I'm not sure whether it fits into this concept of digital gold, which is what people want, right? They want safe haven assets in time of war. Does this cryptocurrency actually kind of meet that requirement?
All right, stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.